The double-chinned security guard sat slumped in front of a wall of black and white TV screens. He opened his bleary eyes, yawned, and pulled a doughnut from the box. He took a bite, licking a globule of jam that dribbled down his chin, unaware that every move he made was being watched by a 4-meter-long, red-backed, green-bellied, urban-based mountain dragon, who was perfectly blended with the sloping rooftop across the road. Dirk Dilly, dragon detective, gazed longingly at the doughnuts. He was starving. To take his mind off his rumbling stomach, he opened his book and read.
"Now, where was I?" he muttered.
Dragon births. A pregnant female dragon will travel deep into the Earth's belly to the banks of the outer core, where she lays the egg. She then picks it up in her mouth and dives into the liquid fire. This is an extremely painful experience. The mother plants the egg in the liquid fire and returns to the shore, where she waits for her youngling to hatch and swim to the surface. Dirk examined an illustration of dragons waiting for their newborn babies to appear from the bubbling underground lake. A female sea dragon places her egg relatively near the surface of the fiery lake, giving its offspring skin the ability to soften in water. A mountain dragon's egg is planted deeper into the lava, making the child's back tougher and giving it the chameleon-like ability to blend with its environment. It is the sky dragon that buries its egg deepest. It takes weeks for a young skyling to swim to the surface, by which time the fire has become a permanent part of its composition. This gives it the rare power known as sublimation, the ability to turn its entire body into cloud-like gas. Dirk looked up from the book. Nothing had changed. The screens still showed the interior of an art gallery located above a donut shop on a busy London street. At night, the doors were locked, but they might as well have stayed locked during the days for all the visitors the gallery got. Dirk had been watching the gallery every night since he got the call from a plummy-voiced man who had introduced himself as Mr. Strettingdon Smythe, the curator.
"Important pieces are going missing," Mr. Strettingdon Smythe said over the phone.
"Don't you have security?"
Dirk had held the receiver between his shoulder and his long, pointy ear as he reached for his glass of neat orange squash.
"Yes, but he's useless. Always asleep on the job."
"Why don't you fire him?"
asked Dirk, draining the contents of the glass.
"I wish I could, but he's a relative of the owner."
"What about CCTV?
"Every room is monitored, but the picture goes fuzzy whenever a painting goes missing, like it's being interfered with somehow."
"Why don't you go to the police?" Dirk had inquired.
"The owner says it's bad for business." "Although I can't see how business could be any worse," the curator replied bitterly.
Mr. Strettingdon Smythe explained that there had been 4 thefts so far, each following the same pattern. Late at night, the CCTV would go haywire for around an hour, during which time the thieves somehow removed a painting without breaking any windows, setting off the alarmed door, or showing signs of forced entry. In each case, the broken frame was left behind. Only the picture itself was taken. It sounded intriguing. Dirk agreed to take on the case.
"And Mr. Dilly," added Mr. Strettingdon Smythe, "I'd appreciate utmost discretion. I haven't told the owner I hired you. I knew he would disapprove, but I can't bear to have any more pieces go missing. Please don't let anyone see you."
"Believe me, it would be a bigger problem for me than for you if I was seen."
Dirk's first thought was that it had to be an inside job. The obvious suspect was the double-chinned security guard, but after a few days following him, Dirk uncovered no signs of guilt. During the day, the man worked on the security desk of an office building. He had a cheery nature and enjoyed greeting every employee by name. After a full day's work, he headed to the art gallery via the donut shop and spent the evening stuffing his face and dozing off. He was incompetent and sleep-deprived, but he wasn't corrupt.